Hello, Rebel!
Ladies and gentlemen, lock up your wives, your sisters, your daughters, your girlfriends, fiancés, and even your female pets. What are you looking at while we're talking, mate? I'm not wearing anything.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance.
Rebel Alliance isn't going to go away.
GW. I was going to say GW, and GW in my mind does not mean Gears Workshop.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance.
Anyway.
You're not wrong.
I've never said to you, Fed, that you're wrong.
Yeah, if I lose, it means I wasn't trying. But if I win, I also wasn't trying.
Yeah.
I'm not a tryhard.
I wouldn't even call it a dicing. I would just say that he had more favorable plays than I had.
The other guy was not impressed.
What's the worst that can happen, right? What is the worst that can happen?
Ladies and gentlemen, shoot Fed TV, everybody.
Yeah, it's like when you just decide that you don't care about your elves anymore and you're just gonna throw them at the ball until it works. Things can happen.
Oh, don't get me started. Stop performing the turns.
Did he really just say that right now to me with a straight face? Did he really just say an hour and a half to 2 hours? Stalling is for suckers after all.
Well, now that we've figured out that situation, guys, go and cage dive your ogre.
Take it away!
Oh, it's gonna be good, man.
Oh.
Hello, Rebel, and welcome to Rebel Alliance episode 101, the one that nobody expected us to actually do, because I've watched my dude's chat. I know that you think we've just done 100 episodes and then went, nah, we'd finished here. Our work is done. But we're back, episode number 101. We're not on Twitch. There's only three of us this evening, which feels like a tiny cast in comparison. It is me, of course, Full Metal. I am joined by Mr. Superfed TV.
Hello, Metal, and hello, everybody.
It's been a while. How are you doing, man?
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good.
I feel like the 100th episode, we kind of just threw everything at the table and then went, what do we do now?
Well, and the season kicked off, and then the world fell apart, and, you know, that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's just the moment, right? Like,
yeah.
I hope you're all right, man. Because I know you're right in the middle of all of this, so we don't want to get too political, but at the same time, man,
sure. There was one day where there was, you know, literally gunshots down the street, and they were breaking into the retailers that was half a mile away at a strip mall, and that day was scary. That day was like, am I, you know, becoming a Korean roof sniper or what? And then since then, it's really mellowed out, so I'm much less worried about it. But we'll see. Who knows?
Yeah, it's everyone's like, why is it a podcast? It's like, because Superfed's literally in the middle of a war zone. It's fine. And someone who is not in the middle of a war zone, because his country are, I mean, famed for their reasonability, I believe. Either that or the black or the black metal. I'm not sure. One of the two. It is, for the very first time ever, our very special guest this evening, Meshuggah.
Hey there. How are you guys?
I wasn't sure. Is it famed for neutrality or is it famed for black?
It is. It is. Yeah, we had a lot of wars for a long time in history, and then we just kind of didn't feel like it anymore. Kind of gave back Norway without fight and so on. And
you,
just
got out your
since
system.
Then, it's yeah. Since then, we've focused on metal, really.
Well, so, I mean, obviously, anyone who sees your name and your profile symbol must get the reference, right? I mean.
And if they don't, they shouldn't bother me.
It's
not a subtle reference.
that's very true. So we're going to start with news around Rebel, and there is some. Shall we get it out the way? I know Superfed's going to be like, oh my god, they're doing it. But part of the reason we've got Meshuggah on tonight is Superfed's favorite topic. It's Clan.
Oh, is that what's happening?
Ah, yeah. Yeah. I've been begging for this chance. I wanted you nice and weak after the 100th episode as well. So,
good.
He's going to put the I was going to say the boot, but it's probably a hoof, right?
Oh yeah, it's a hoof.
A hoof.
A hoof. Yeah, I'm a goat, you know.
Anyway. If we're going to talk about Clan a little bit, Fed, because there's a brand new season about to start, and I thought it was only fair to talk about it, since it's somewhat... Well, it's not just our biggest side league, but it's not really even a side league anymore. Clan is kind of... I think it's evolved out of being a side league, and it's just at the point where, you know, when you're bigger than, like, many other leagues, you kind of can't call yourself a side league anymore, right?
No, I
think
it's...
I agree. I think it is that big to where you can, you know, call it its own thing and treat it like its own thing for sure.
I mean, we're at the point where we're steadily at 250 coaches each season. And I mean, not many main leagues have 250 or more coaches. It's pretty much Rebel.
Yeah, it's its own thing, but it's still Rebel own thing.
Oh, it's most definitely Rebel, but I mean, most coaches are from Rebel, but there are so many coaches from all over the place and so many clans that come from other Discords and so on. And I mean, even the admin team is, we have on purpose really gone out to make sure we have, for instance, we've done a push towards the Spanish community this year. We have are super happy to have like Mapotillo, who runs one of the largest leagues in Spain. I mean, he's been a long-term
Liga Hispania,
Rebel coach.
Is it not?
Yeah, Liga Hispania.
Yeah, Mopatello's a great guy as well.
Yeah, he is. Although, I don't like playing him. He does fancy stuff with his Black Orcs that I just don't like. I lost out a playoff position just because he did some magic in the end and caught a scattered pass with a Black Orc. I'm not better.
I'm not a bit honest. I'm not. Yeah. No. One of the things I like about Clan as well is that it's kind of like, I think it's a great introduction to Rebel for other leagues. Like, for a long time, we've kind of used it like that as well. It is like we've gone out to other leagues and went, "Do you want to come play in Rebel? We've got this thing called Clan. You can bring five of your mates. You still get to talk to people you know. You don't have to like be super brave and talk to the wider Rebel community yet. But you know, you can have your little private Discords and you can do all your planning and stuff. And you can come over and see what it's like to play here. And then, you know, if you like it, you can come join the main league. And a lot of them actually surprisingly do end up making that jump over to Rebel after the played in Clan, I find.
Yeah, and I think we've, I mean, one of the things we've always had a good relationship with, like with the Rookie League, but we have like Rand now, who's a Clan admin as well for us, and he's certainly helped bring in a little bit more of a representation from the Rookie League as well, from the minor league there. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's important to understand that like the Division 3, it's just really a three-division thing because we have a pyramid system, like sort of main league does. But since it's a fairly flat system, it's still an easy way to get to know a lot of the people in your divisions, and there's a lot of banter going on in the division channels and so on. Plus, it's totally fine to... You don't have to expect brilliant play in all games in Division 3, so it's totally fine to sort of have your mates cover for you a little bit.
I mean, that's been my strategy for many seasons.
Yeah, you're just pretending to play the bus team. Yeah, oh, well, I'm totally the bus. I don't expect anything from me.
Yeah, no, if I'm the bus, you guys are going to win all your matches. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Don't worry about it. It's all good.
No, but it's a good setup overall, just because there are so many people. You can always ask your mates, but you also have so many other people that know the league so well. Because, I mean, out of the 250 coaches every season, I don't actually have a number, but I'm guessing at least 70-80% of them have played multiple seasons before, so they're quite used to dealing with some new coaches in their own clans, as well as certainly new questions. So,
absolutely.
I think it works well. Yeah.
We've
like
just,
the format.
We've just locked down the 50th team, because one, we had a dropout right at the end, I know, and then
yep.
50th clan got back in, and now we are literally 2 days away from roster locking, I believe, in terms of ledgers and stuff, right?
Yep, we want ledgers the 15th at the latest, so...
Ask me if Metal Clan has submitted our ledger yet.
I actually looked at that right before the podcast, so I have no comments.
Yeah, no. You know what? Actually, we're almost done. We're almost done.
Right. All right. I've never heard that one before.
No, what really threw us was our last minute signing of after Kedgeroo's dropped out. It took me a while to figure out who we were gonna bring in. And
yeah. Plus, the guy you brought in is such a douche.
You know you're going to get tagged about that tomorrow.
Oh, of course I am.
No, we've hired, we've brought in McNaughton. So now there's two buses in my clan. He's actually, he's actually got a ridiculously good win rate as the bus, and we've been.
Oh, isn't this the second? Or didn't you guys just get demoted too from the first time?
Did. I mean,
so it, you're going for the double demotion.
No, no, it's part of the part of the problem was that Meshuggah brought in this brand new system that I totally didn't okay. That totally ended up with us getting demoted, which is clearly Meshuggah's system.
So everyone who promoted, thank me.
We demote a lot in clan. It's much more dynamic than it used to be.
Yeah, I mean we I mean in our all seriousness, we we actually had a very long discussion over multiple seasons on how do we sort out the fact that Rebel Clan got so popular that we ended up having like five divisions at one point, and that's like that's going to take forever to go from Division 5 to Division 1, and the really only choice we had was to go to a pyramid and have a lot of demotions from sort of the top levels and fewer demotions as you get to Division 2 and so on, because that just makes sure that if you are going to have any kind of bragging rights, you need to be able to say you're top 4 team in the first division. I mean, otherwise you're just not. So
I mean, you're literally just not. We're out. I mean, we had, to be fair, we had a terrible season last season. We had
You had super rough start, and it doesn't get. I mean, it can be rough in any game if one team has a rough start. But you guys had multiple really rough games
like,
early
on. It was like 2-2 in every round, and then the final game would just be a massive blowout, and it was like for like 3 or 4 straight, and it really hit our morale, and then from there. We kind of had to stick it in. And weirdly, the point where I went, look, guys, we're going to get demoted. So our strategy should be to preserve our lizards, preserve our elves, you know, maybe look at covering some of the other teams as well. So look to see what we can rebuild and you know, scavenge for next season. Come back, we'll rebuild in Division 2, we'll climb back up, and then we'll win. You know, we'll come back and hit Division 1 hard next season kind of thing. That was the thing I gave them. And then my stairs started, like, 4-0-ing people. Out of nowhere. Like, I don't know what happened, but, like, I told my stairs to protect his team, and his response was, I'm just going to style on everybody every game and risk my team.
So what he was really doing was he was trying to show off how good he was so he could sign with an actual Division 1 clan.
And yet, he didn't get picked up, so... He's got a really good elf team at the moment.
Yeah. They look ridiculous.
But no, I just didn't get it. I just don't know where it came from. Like, like, guys, protect our stuff. And then he's like, nah, it's fine. I'm just going to go 4-0 against everyone.
Right. Yeah. But that's what elves do, isn't it? In clan. They do go really well.
Yeah, but he hadn't gone really well for, like, four or five matches. It was a weird one. But, no, so I'm actually playing at Orcs this season as a sneak peek of what's going on.
Ooh. That's tasty. I like Orcs.
I like Orcs a lot. I mean, I think they're great in clan. They're one of my favorite clan teams. And we had this a lot about like how good Orcs actually are on paper, and that they're possibly a lot better than necessarily their results have shown. Me and you like went back and forward a lot over team ratings before this season.
Yeah. It's. I mean, we've done some major changes. I don't know if you want to talk about that stuff, but. I mean, we've done some fairly major changes. I think the biggest one is really... it's two really big ones. One is we're testing no OT in Season 9, so shorter games. And we do have three-minute turns in Clan Fed, so if you were man enough to actually play in Clan, you might even...
Man enough to play on that league?
I'm just saying.
That's cute. I've played twice, and
right.
It's not exactly a try-hard league. You try hard. Well, it depends, right? It depends who you ask at the moment. It's a try hard league when someone wins, and it's not a try hard league when they lose.
Right. Well, they say that, but all right, I'll give you that one.
Anyhow, we're trying hard. We're not trying hard. We are trying hard. You want to pick one?
No, I'm trying hard now because I beat you.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyhow, the second really big one is the race tire changes that we've worked on, and that was. I mean, certainly interesting, and we've looked at statistics in previous seasons before to try and balance this. But I mean, this season we did a major change in sort of looking at what's our rule system, what's our what are the principles that we're trying to achieve by balancing in the way we are. And I mean, promoting diversity is, of course, that's one, but we also wanted to really work on sort of a system that allows us to sort of balance teams in not only in win rate, but also in terms of cost, because cost is such an important thing for clans. You were just talking about how metal is going to have a hard time. I mean, you kind of have to have two bus teams just because you have two really hot teams.
Yeah, it's. I like the kind of overcharging a little bit for bus teams now.
Yeah. But we also worked a fair bit on sort of understanding how do we want to work with sort of when do we pull the trigger and say this one team is maybe one tire too high, one tire too low, and make sure that it doesn't change them completely. It changed them in a direction, but doesn't bust them or boost them too much.
Like Orcs was definitely on the back and forth, because like Orcs, if I remember correctly, Orcs have a pretty dire win rate.
Yeah, they're a super interesting team to discuss, actually, and I could do this for 2 hours, but I'm not gonna.
Can you tell this guy works in like data and stuff?
Yeah. I'm deputy director of data driven systems research school for industrial PhD students, so it's no joke that I'm interested in data. One of the things with Orcs is that everyone buses their Orc team. And if you get bust a lot, you get beat down a lot. So their percentage is, of course, suffering. But to what extent, how can you sort of factor that in? And I mean, that was a really interesting fringe case. And we ended up sort of balancing. We had multiple other cases, but the Orcs really stood out where they were in the tire they were for having just above 40% win rate last season.
Yeah,
we think that 40% was a little bit rougher than it has been before. We have the numbers from previous seasons, and they didn't change that much from previous seasons to season 8. So we think the 40% was lower than it normally is. Let's blame Keji for that, by the way, right?
Oh, God, no. Keji had the worst season in the history.
Yeah, he was, I mean, such a great team and lost several players early on, good ones as well. But anyhow, the where was I?
I just want to say, yeah, if at any point you listen to all of this, go, my God, they're talking a lot about like really specific things. Like this, if you've ever asked us to do anything in clan, like because we have regular feedback, if you've spoke to a clan leader and went, they need to change this, then this is the depth and degree of discussions that we go into when it comes to any choice we make with the clan rules. Like we absolutely like dig in and go, well, what about this? What about this number? Why is this happening? And it's not like nothing is ever a knee jerk reaction. Like I mean, in Rebel especially, like you know, the rules are. Particularly...
I was to say you're making that point, and I've never participated in the clan rule changes, but you could make that same argument for just about every change that we've ever done in Rebel.
No, absolutely.
Like
I think we
super in depth.
That's why I think it's super important to actually talk about it, you know, and let people see what actually goes on a little bit behind the curtain. Yeah. I know you probably find it quite boring right now, Fed, but at the same time...
It's not my cup of tea, but no, I get it. Like, if people want to look behind the curtain on anything, that's definitely how it is.
Yeah, but anyhow, like, for the Orcs specifically, they essentially got bumped one down because of how poor their win rate was, but they got bumped back up one tire because of how many players actually, how many coaches actually play them because of principle one being promote diversity. So yeah, when we started really considering diversity as the core one, it kind of all fell into place in this system. And we've kind of wanted to have this in previous seasons. So I don't think any of the five principles we have, which are listed in the rules, by the way, because everyone read them, right? we have pictures, right? There's like a table with colors.
I like that you put colors in. I think that really helped to grab people's attention.
Yeah, it needed colors this year for sure. But anyhow, I mean, like when we got those five really outlined, it helped sort of crack what we were trying to achieve, because it gets really tricky to maneuver when everyone comes from the I think that perspective. Yeah. And I mean, there's no way to get to any kind of agreement based on I think that. That's like a majority vote for one or another way.
My
That's
favorite the part, way the one I'm do. Looking forward to, dude, like real talk, is the whole I think that clan would be better without without overtime. Well, we're about to find out. Yep, everyone who ever asked us for no clan overtime, they're probably cheering at the moment, but I can't wait for the actual like complaints to like, oh my god, I'm playing like a bash team and I can't now do the 2-1 into overtime grind, blah 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 blah. It's like, well yeah, because you didn't want overtime anymore.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting one. And in that case, it was actually a split sort of how, not a vote, but if we looked at the feedback we got, it was actually a split between didn't want overtime or certainly wanted overtime. We had a few that didn't care as well. But in the end, there were just so many that had an opinion on this, and it's been discussed so many times that at some point you also have to give it a try for one season to really see then. And either Metal gets to say, I told you so, or some of the other people get to tell Metal, I told you so. And I'm sure he'll appreciate that if you're right.
Yeah, you know what? If I'm one to admit that I'm wrong, especially because, you know, Rebel has the rule that Metal is always right.
Oh, I don't remember putting that into the rules, but all right.
That's the unwritten one.
right.
Except those times when he's not, and those times are, you know, somebody else's fault.
No, rule one, totally. Metal is always right. Rule two, if in doubt, see rule one. If Metal is wrong, see rule one. Metal's always right. It's fine.
Right.
If in doubt, right.
See, this is how the process really looks like, right?
Now, this is a real look behind the curtain.
Yeah. First, we discuss forever, and then Metal comes in and says, nah, I'm right. This is how to do it. No. That doesn't actually ever happen. Well,
sometimes I just never happened. Sometimes I just step back and go, how did you all get to this? Like, what happened in the last 24 hours that allowed this?
Yeah, in clan, it's never happened. It's plus you are. It's easier to be involved. I mean, our admin team is much smaller than the main league admin team, so it's an easier, smaller discussion with not so many people, mostly agreeing or disagreeing with one or another. So it's easier to come up with all the different suggestions for how to treat things and how to sort of rule and then start figuring out. Because to be honest, in Clan League especially, I think once enough options are on the table, it's usually the case that a lot of people kind of gravitate towards one, possibly two, and it's really a no drama kind of situation, even because we are very upfront with sort of the beta rules and show them to clan leaders. And we most certainly take in the feedback from clan leaders both before we write the beta rules and when we change things based on the beta rules, because that's just, I mean, there are so many things that we can miss. We think they're in there, or we think we're clear or smart, but we're not.
Yeah, so clan's definitely a much more collaborative rule set than Rebel Main, I think.
Plus it's really good thing for clans to both engage with us as clan admin in that way, but also because clans themselves discussing the rules. I mean, then you have a group of 5-ish people that hang around, know each other well, and discuss sort of the pros and cons. And in any group of 5 people, there's bound to be more than one opinion.
You know my
cases that are
part.
Tricky.
You know my favorite part, though? If they're talking about the rules, it means they actually read them.
Exactly.
Anyway, and we should probably move on before Superfed's eyes glaze.
I'll be nice for a while now.
I assume Superfed's like desperately trying not to fall asleep. So, but no, that's fair. I mean, like I said, I thought it was important to talk about like what's gone in behind the scenes, because there's been so much happening over there, and we've changed. Like I said, removing overtime, considering clan overtime last season allowed us to, well, the season before last allowed us to test the new Rebel overtime rules for playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we're like, okay, these rules work, so what we're going to do now is get rid of overtime.
Yeah. What I can say that we actually did get good feedback for was that there was no feedback at all suggesting that we would go back to the normal overtime rules.
You know what? There hasn't been in Rebel Main either. Not one person, I think, has looked at the rules now that we have for playoffs.
If you go way back, it was either the interview show that we did. What was it? Foul Appearance or something like that?
Foul Language.
Either that. Foul language, that's what it was. Somebody, because one of the standard questions was, what was a rule that you would change in Blood Bowl? And I think somebody suggested the overtime change that we ended up doing like 2 years ago or 3 years ago, which is great. So it's not a unique idea, but it's definitely one that I think makes sense. And in practice, it's worked out pretty well. Only a couple times where I think there's one game this playoffs where I was like, oh, okay, that doesn't feel great, but in general, I think it's fine.
Yeah, there was. I think I remember the one. I'm not going to name and shame, but I think I remember the one you're talking about, and I remember why you mentioned it. But on the whole, I would say that it's been a favorable accept because no one likes kicks. Just the long and the short of it is, just no one likes kicks. This is it. And I think that's
I think it's more than no one likes kicks. I think the rule is as it is now in main league and was in clan. You kind of feel like you have a shot, even if you don't get the ball. I mean, a serious shot. And for some teams, I mean, it's no secret. I play fairly often more control-oriented teams, so I kind of like being on defense, and I know I'm probably better on defense. I wouldn't not get the ball in an overtime situation, of course, but I still feel like I have a serious shot to win, even if I didn't get it.
It feels like less of a kick in the nuts.
Right. The only time where I think it does change the dynamic is if you're the one that's wins the toss, but you're down to like three or four players.
Yeah.
And now you lose that objective of playing for the score, or playing for the stall rather, and just kind of hoping that you get a shot. More or less, you have to run forward, and as soon as you drop the ball, you lose the game.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
But it's still better than kicks.
I think so. And I mean, at some point, the game needs to get decided. It's a little bit too bad that it doesn't get decided sort of by just adding turns and so on.
But then again, if it just added turns, that would just be every non-Bash coach would be sat there going, why do you want to delete my team?
Yeah, that's
I'm going to stall now until I can clear the entire pitch.
Yeah, I'm a Chaos team. They're four elves. Ooh, that's 8 SPP waiting for me to hoover it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, it's a tricky one, and I mean, in regular sports, no one's really cracked on how to do this either, so I think there's going to be disadvantages to any kind of system, and I think this one is way better than any of the options.
Well, and you just have to adapt. Like, if you're playing the Agi team and you've only got 6 players left on turn 13, you might want to go for the win now instead of playing the stall for overtime.
Yep, for sure.
It does. It definitely changes a lot of the dynamic of the game. But in general, I think other than that one situation that you're referencing, Superfed, I think it's felt better across the board in playoffs.
More positives than negatives by far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's actually got off the topic a little bit and onto Rebel, and so we should probably talk more about Rebel, because there's a few things still happening. Obviously, we're in week four.
Four.
Yeah, I had to think, because I've actually played my game early this week, so... I had bad times with Elves, Dark Elves. I won my first two games, and I was like, yeah, this is going well, this feels good. And then game three, I lost to Carlos Sims because he has a strength 5 blodge. Blitzer, and they're incredibly difficult to deal with, especially when he rolls all of the dice. You know, I made a great play, got the ball off of him after some things went very, very wrong, and then he hit me against the sideline, got the ball out, and the crowd gave the ball to his strength 5 Blitzer. And I'm just sat there going, okay, but that was... What? But no, that's the one player on the field I can't deal with. And then I still managed to set up a red dice interim with my wolf and double powered him.
Wow.
Wow.
And then he still just... Then he went, oh, I've got no rerolls. I don't care. I'll roll all of the dice in the universe and just hit me, picked up the ball, threw it to someone else, and scored. And I was just like, oh. And then I almost got a one turn, which felt actually amazing. But then... I kind of felt it felt gross because, you know, Necro one turns hard are difficult, and he put sidesteppers two sidesteppers on the line. He didn't have three, he only had two, so it was incredibly difficult anyway. And I spotted the way to do it, and then because I looked at where his sidestepper was going to go when I blocked her, and was like, there's three squares I'd let her move into, and two of them I had a chain push onto. Two of them I had an easy blitz in to get the pushes and it would have been fine. The one place I didn't have an easy blitz in to get the last push, I assumed that was where he was gonna go, but I'd be okay if I followed and he went there, kind of thing, because I'd move out the way and get a blitz from a different angle. I know it sounds really confusing, but I was so like, this is the only place he can move that's gonna make this difficult for me. But I need to follow to fix that. And then he didn't move there, and I accidentally clicked follow because I was so in the mindset of he was going to go in the one place that was going to make it as difficult as possible. And as soon as I clicked follow, I went, I'm an idiot. I am a massive idiot. But the fact that I still managed to pretty much get all but one push against two sidesteppers it felt pretty good.
That was a lot of words, but I feel like the conclusion TLDR there is the metal still... gets overwhelmed by sidestep.
It's so funny. How's your season going? Is everything dead yet?
That's a callback to like 2 years ago when you're Nurgle.
Yes, I know. I remember the game well.
Yeah, that was great. Those high elves and their sidestep.
It was Tosk, I believe, actually, wasn't it?
I am 4-0, and this week was fun. I diced the hell out of Unseen Walkers, Rage Dwarfs.
Oh, no, not the Rage Dwarf.
Oh, yes. Diced him good. I killed one of his special dwarves. I mean, it was already niggled and AV busted, so it should have been fired already. But I killed a dwarf and basically pitch cleared the rest as rats. And it only cost me my niggled dirty player. So I'd say it was a great trade. But yeah, the season's going well. I now have a strength up gutter.
Ooh.
It was the Rackle one, so it was already developed.
Oh my god, really? That's so good.
Yeah. And then two heads on the fresh gutter. So it's coming together. So far so good. I will say, when I look at the four teams I've played and where they're stack ranked, that the harder part of my season is still to come. So I don't expect to go undefeated by any means. I think I still probably lose 4 games this season, but we'll see.
I have goblins next. I'm fully expecting to come back next time we talk and talk about how the goblins absolutely wrecked me. Because, like, in the second Dark Elf game, with them having no mighty blow whatsoever and me battering them sideways in the first half, they got me down to 5 players for 0 removals on them.
Nice.
And I'm just sat there going, you have no mighty blow. I'm not even giving up that many blocks. Can you stop pitch clearing me, please? So that ended up being a tie because I just had no players. Kind of gross. How was your game, Sugar? Are you playing?
I am actually not playing main league.
Oh my god!
I have.
Was it the lizards you had last?
No. They got really beaten up. They're still around. They could still make a comeback at some point. They're good, but they got really trimmed down.
I mean, that was your entire theme, wasn't it? It was the whole, we have a Croxagar, except we
actually... Oh, yeah, of course. It was completely a Crocodile Dundee theme, so... I have the slogan, the Crocs was obviously donk, and the slogan was, I don't need a gun, I got a donk, as in the movie.
Me and McNugget loved it, because your first season in, it's like, I don't need a gun, I've got a donk, and it was like... Does he? Where is it? Because it's dead.
Yeah. he died three times the first season. That was rough. I'm still just that one game against Muppet from playoffs, but it was rough. But as some really sort of fortunate games that season as well. So I think overall it was totally fair. But the team is around, and I'd be really interested in continuing them, but the time is an issue. I mean, I run too many other things, so it's tricky with.
Yeah, I mean, if you're sat here going, I don't play Clans, or who is this Meshuggah guy? Like, he is kind of a big deal in the Rebel, not in the outside Rebel community. I mean, you're affiliated with what, ICBBL, and
I run AD Invitational and the Chaos Invitational, which is the other really large team-based competition.
I do have a sweepstake behind the scenes as to how long it's going to continue being called the AD Invitational without any input from Eddie.
it's homage to AD. I mean, he did start the place. He's actually back and playing some games now, so that's fun. He's not super active or anything, but he kind of burned out a little bit.
I mean, he's a lovely guy. Eddie is a lovely guy. If you've ever played the Eddie Chaos Invitational, the one thing to know is Eddie is a lovely guy who has big ideas and needs to be told no slightly more often than he is. I know some people might look at me and go, that sounds familiar.
I would never do houses. That. Yeah. We never do that to you, right?
To be fair, right? For considering that everyone goes Ooh Metal and his yes men around him and stuff, I've heard that thrown around a lot, that I have yes men. Couldn't be further from the truth. I have no men. I have people who just go, Metal, shut up.
Under constant threat of coup.
If we had a coup tracker every time someone mentioned the coup in the admin Discord, like, it would be over 9,000 about now. It's stupid. It just makes me laugh because everyone's like, oh yeah, Metal has like a bunch of admin yes men surrounding him, and it's like, no, he doesn't. Metal has a bunch of people that he constantly has to convince that they should be nice to each other. More than anything. If you've ever seen Superfed and Muriscardu fight, it's like watching someone else's parents fight in...
It's been a while.
There's definitely some sexual tension there.
I don't know where this keeps coming from. Not from my end.
Oh, totally. That's going to help.
You don't know where it's coming from. It's coming from the fact that the rest of us have to sit there and watch. It's like foreplay with extra steps. It's ridiculous. We do love it, though. We do love them to bits. It's just... Yeah.
I mean, it's good with people that have passionate opinions on things. That's just how it is. I think sometimes
people
don't agree. It
boils more down to how we argue. But yeah, because we now, like, at least from my perspective now, like, there's strategy to having to argue and debate Muriscardu now. And like, I won't even bother. Like, someone will make a comment that he'll jump in on, and I'll be like, okay, I could do this, and I could say this in this way. And then this will happen, and then so I'm like three moves ahead. Nah. And by the time I like actually have the response I want, I'm like, I'm not even gonna type it. Just let it go that way.
I think secretly you're both on the same side, and it's just
it's gotten there.
You're playing the rest of us now.
This past season, it's felt like we definitely have come to a consensus on where we want to go. The only thing that still remains some friction point, if you will, would be early rollovers, but you know, we'll just let that one go. He doesn't play in Rel, and I don't play in G-Man, so we can be okay.
So yeah, what else is going on in Rebel right now? We have a couple of things going on. I don't know if anyone remembers, but we had the secret painting thing going on. We're down to like three minis left before we can actually reveal the full team.
That's cool.
And that was as of the end of last month. I get monthly updates from Wolf at this point because, bizarrely, it's the Europeans have all got, I think, on the whole, the Europeans have all got their stuff together. And it's actually the Americans remaining that have to finish up and get it handed in. And it's like, surely, you know, they'd be based in... Oh, no, one of them's Viking Cop, to be fair. It's Viking Cop, Eyes and Mike, and Ra-Ra are outstanding in their fields of painted goats. I don't know if I should have called them out or not. Oh, well, I have now. It's fine. But, yeah, maybe that'll light a fire under them. Of course it's Viking Cop, right? I mean, he's probably too busy eating Cheetos. I'd assume. So that should be able to get released soon. And I've had a chat with Kay Subli recently, who has let me know that nobody is giving clips to her, so that's good. Well done, everybody, for completely ignoring a chance to win a free mug.
Yes, clipping competition. Well, you know, I stopped streaming, so there's a lot less content for that.
Oh, there's so much less salt.
I was curious to see whose clips got nominated the most. That's what I was most curious about.
Honestly, like, right, if you want to win a free Rebel mug, right, go to XS's stream from a couple of days ago. Was it this morning? God, time is doing weird things in lockdown to me. Go to XS's stream from this morning and watch the game who's covering from the Big O, where a Necro coach accidentally surfed their own downed ghoul in their own beer stand and minus AV'd their own ghoul.
Oof.
Because, yeah, XS's reaction alone was probably going to win you the week at this point. Never mind the fact that you're clipping someone who surfed their own ghoul. And it was an Agi 4 ghoul as well. It was like a really good ghoul that's now minus AV'd. And it was only minus AV'd because they have a beer stand.
It was clearly meant to be.
The extra fun part being, right, the Necro Discord is of one mind when it comes to stadium enhancements. We even have, like, this meme of, you know, the Simpsons meme of "Don't make me tap the sign." Yeah. And it's the Simpsons thing of "Don't make me tap the sign," and it's a picture of this, and this picture of the sign is Surge explaining why the only thing you should get for Necro is a security gate. So that I think makes it even funnier that there's an in joke of the only good stadium enhancements is security gate. Someone took a beer stand and then wrecked their own super goal. I felt bad for them, but it was admittedly quite funny.
That's a pretty good played yourself moment.
Yeah, it kind of was. Yeah, XS is doing tons at the moment. XS, I want to give XS a shout out actually because he's really stepped up and has been streaming not just Big O games, but he's been covering a lot of, like, the more daytime G-Man games as well. So it's kind of nice just having someone who just throws up a stream and then casts games for like 6 hours in the middle of the day, especially for me because it's like perfect, like, prime time viewing for me. Credit where it's due. I'm enjoying that a lot. Is there anything else going on around here, guys? I mean, you're both admins, so you should both know by now if I've missed something.
Things that are going around. No, we had a Super Bowl. Sage won. We covered that in episode 100.
We did.
Yeah.
Sage gloated quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think you earned that right.
Yeah, it's fine.
I know more behind the scenes stuff is happening, but that's not really.
Yeah, that's totally what we're spilling.
I mean, that's all I'm kind of aware of. I don't know much.
Have we got to the point where we spend more time talking about, like, the rules
behind
and stuff,
the scenes stuff? Yeah.
That we don't actually know what's happening in the league because a lot of it just happens by itself now.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of kicked off a discussion and then just kind of left because I was busy in REL the other day about the way promotion structures kind of work, but, and, like, people, you know, like climbing to the top of Rel 1 and things, or getting to Rel 1, I should say, not climbing to the top of Rel 1, but getting to the Rel 1 is definitely something that can be achieved by just about any coach, depending on how it works and if you're, what team you're playing, I guess, is probably the biggest factor in that. But
I mean, you did it fairly rapidly as well. I mean, I'm not saying obviously like,
you're a good coach.
You made it really far in the playoffs, and you've proved, I think, time and again that you know what you're doing when it comes to Blood Bowl. So that people might go, well, saying Superfed makes it, well, he's a better coach than me. That's not what I'm trying to say there. What I'm trying to say is you made it very quickly.
Yeah, I had two seasons.
But there's a lot of coaches who made it that bit much slower, but still made it within the system, right?
Well, and there's coaches that haven't even made it at all that have been playing with us for, you know, 8-10 seasons. I think there's some people that just feel like they're never going to make it, and that part of their part, like if they actually want to make it, one of the things that they're doing wrong is playing, you know, a race that doesn't really favor that. But I forget what it was that originally kicked it off, but somebody was talking about how they made it to Rel 1 a couple times. I think it was Cheese, but then they got sent back down, and they were confused that they, you know, could make it up there as easily, but they couldn't do anything when they were there. And I was talking about how the old div structure, people would get promoted simply by the fact that their TV stayed up and the people above them would re-roll. And, you know, if you're playing a team like Orcs that are all AV9 or a regen team like Necro, it's very easy to find yourself consistently getting promoted. At the same time, when we have the tier system, we have, you know, two tier twos. And once we've figured out the pool of coaches that are in tier two, Zord will balance them, not so that they're even in each division, or they're not balanced so that the two divisions are even. They're balanced so that within each division, there is even competition. So if you look at, you know, last year's 2A, that had me, Lumi, and Spoony Bard, and, you know, a couple other top coaches all in that division. And then you look at 2B, and there wasn't as many former Rel 1 coaches in that division. Now, we were all Tier 2, and that was all where we belonged, but they weren't balanced that way around it. And so it makes sense that, you know, people that came up through 2B and 1 aren't having as good of a time as the coaches that came up from 2A. You follow me?
It sounds a lot like I'm really, really good at this game. Look at me, I'm super fed. I'm better than.
Doesn't matter what I say.
Well, the top 60% of the bottom 60% of the top 40. That's they're below me.
Yeah, there's that. I'm only kidding. But no, I'm just trying to explain why, you know.
No, I get it. Like as you said, right? The divisions have to be competitive within themselves. If there was, you were in one division and Spoony Bard was in another division, and then there was no coaches of your caliber, of your two caliber, who, yeah, I'm going to put you as fairly similar level. I mean, you're both incredibly good coaches. You've both played in the Blood Bowl for a long time. You both played in Rel for a long time, and you've both done well there. But if, you know, if you weren't in the same division, if you were spread out, then it would almost allow for much easier, you know, we don't want any seal clubbing, let's say.
Sure. but basically, because
you should have
that's the way it's built
within your division, yeah, that is appropriate to you.
I'm not trying to say that, I'm not making that argument right now that it shouldn't be that way. I'm just saying because it's this way, that is why we often see teams that make it regularly or have made it multiple times up to Div 1, and then promptly, as quickly as they arrived at Div 1, left Div 1.
I mean, there is such a thing as power vacuums as well, of course.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, especially when there's big rerolls.
Like, you know, there are some seasons where we just have so many rerolls that they're always... Not all Division 1 coaches are made equally. We know that. Not all coaches of any tier are necessarily made equally. There's a top end and a bottom end of those bounding kind of stratospheres. Stratas is the word I was looking for. But
yeah,
the point being, if 14 people reroll out of Rel 1, or 13 out of 14 people re-roll out of RL1. It kind of puts us in a position where some people are going to go to RL1 that maybe aren't necessarily RL1 material. Because...
Well, I guess that's the question, right? How many people are actually RL1 material? Is it 14 people? Is it 5 people? Is it 25 people?
I like watching RL1 decide every season.
Is it 40 people?
And I like watching and I like watching G-Man 1 decide every season. We're not just talking about RL as well. G-Man has similar things. There's definitely people who go, I don't belong in G-Man 1. And then it's like, well, maybe you don't, but you know, maybe you will after playing a season there. That for me is the bigger thing, is that maybe you don't belong there right now, but maybe, you know, you only improve at Blood Bowl by playing good coaches. You don't improve by, you know, like 5-0 wins every week. Because everyone around you is terrible. Like, as much as people might want to pretend that, like, stomping guys who are playing their third or fourth Blood Bowl game ever in CCL is a mark of skill, you know, we all know that it only gets, like, you know, it's only when you get up there near the top, like, either near the top win rates for your race, and you're playing people who are near the top win rates for their race, or, you know, you're actually in the knockout tournaments where you're starting to play people of your caliber. And that's the time where you will improve. And
not only that, I mean, there's a distinct risk if you end up playing. I mean, that doesn't apply to if you go to Div 1, of course. But if you play coaches that you get big wins against often, you tend to get really sloppy and you get worse and worse at the game. You don't actually improve; you just get worse.
Yeah, it can make you get lazy because you're so used to not having to try.
Yeah, it's like if you have I started playing the game back in, I don't know, the 1800s or something. And I played Skaven for maybe 10 years straight, nothing else, almost. Probably 90% of my games for 10 years was Skaven. I had some ridiculous Skaven teams that I ended up having huge slumps after they sort of disintegrated, just because you pick up so many dirty, bad habits from having OP teams. And certainly playing against... This was back in tabletop, of course. So when you play in a slightly smaller setting, same coaches, you know them really well. You end up sort of point and clicking. And it just... And then you get surprised that you're not winning with all your other teams because you cannot do that. And you don't even know how to play against several different races well. Because you don't have your one OP team that, I mean, kind of wins on its own.
I kind of, it's why I've enjoyed the last couple of seasons of re-rolling, to be honest. I know it turned into a bit of a meme that, oh, Metal's re-rolled again. Yeah. But I'd played Skaven for 4 seasons. And then I played Nurgle for 5 seasons. So, like, you know, as much as, oh, Metal's re-rolled a lot, like, 9 of my seasons here, and we're only in, what, season 13 now? So... I only re-rolled a couple of times.
Is it 13 or 14? Is it
14? Oh, God, I don't know. 14 we're in now. Yeah, 14, because I was Brax, 14, Camry, Necro. What other teams did I play? I don't remember.
Didn't you do Undead? You did Undead.
I did Undead for a season, I did. But that was only because
How could you?
That was forgettable because it was the season I first re-rolled and I didn't really want to re-roll, but I needed to allow someone else to get to play that we made a mistake with, and it was whatever. It was that was a team always doomed to fail. That was a placeholder for a season, but you know, when I'd gotten to the point with my Nurgle where I was in a massive rut, I was just like, I knew what I needed to do to win 90% of the games my Nurgle played. And I did really well in the last couple of seasons with my Nurgle. I mean, I made it deep into playoffs one season, and then I almost qualified for playoffs the following season, and I was like one game off on that. And the games, I always kind of felt I knew how they were going to go from a certain point, and was like, yeah, okay, so this is what I need to do to win this game. You kind of get into that slump of, oh, I'm just going to play the same way and I'm just going to get lazy and stuff. And actually re-rolling and playing these different teams has kind of... I'd like to say, even though I've not necessarily had the best win rates with some of these teams, it certainly, I think, made me more knowledgeable or refreshed my knowledge of the game, because I'm playing teams that have different win conditions and play styles And you kind of don't really know, like, you know, my game as Nurgle versus Dark Elves is very different for how I play a game with Necro versus Dark Elves. It's very different from how I played Bretonians versus Dark Elves. And it kind of, it's interesting to see all of the different, you know, kind of styles of match that you end up playing against all of these different teams. So I totally get the whole getting into a kind of like a rut and just being very, very good at one particular team kind of thing that you're talking about, Meshuggah.
Yeah, well, what I was also saying was that at some point, if you play a single race, yeah, you can get really good, but you can also end up just having some really, really, really good teams there. So it's not just coach skill at that point. So I just feel like my point was really that it's dangerous to play against coaches and in leagues. I mean, you can always play for fun. Others than Fed can do that, but I'm actually very similar to Fed in the regard that I either go all in or nothing. So I'm all jokes aside, that's, I totally get that, but I still think it's fun to goof around a little bit, but it gets old for me at least. And I think players that end up mostly goofing around, as long as they have fun and play the game and enjoy their time, fine, all the power to them. But I don't think it helps them to develop as a player. I don't know if that's necessarily the goal of every player, though, and I don't think it should be. But I know it certainly is for many of us. So if you want to get better, you really need to play the games you kind of don't want to play.
That's a solid quote. That you've really got to play the opponents you don't necessarily want to have to play. Like,
I know who I don't want to play this season.
Oh yeah, you care to share, or you're not going to talk about that? It after the game?
I don't want to play Larkstar. Larkstar's team is disgusting. I don't know if you've seen it. But it's like it's like 2K Norse with two rerolls.
It's not just that, but Larkstar he doesn't play like a lot of Norse coaches do. He's incredibly like aggressive, and
I was to say aggressive, and that's the thing that scares me the most is the way he plays them. But his team is spooky, and for inducement rats, there's not a lot of options I have against that. I think I may just, you know, buy as many loner rats as I can. What would that be? I'd be a 11, so 5 loner rats, double babes, double apo, and just put my players on the sidelines.
Stack the apples. Wait for that game to be done.
Because I don't want my gutter runners on the pitch against him.
He's the kind of guy who would foul you at turn 8 before scoring, isn't he? It's just, he's nuts. He's not nuts as in, like, you talk about a lot of coaches and you go, they're nuts, they just want bloodshed and stuff, like Orabi or whatever.
Yeah, he's not Orabi at Gengar.
But he's...
He's playing to win.
He's good at the game as well, so he's nuts with a great team. He's incredibly aggressive and he's very good at Blood Bowl. It's like... It's the combination of everything added together that's spooking you. I get that, Fed. I genuinely look at his team and go, I wouldn't want to play it either.
For some reason, I also made a $20 bet with Dire Sickfish that Larkstar would not make playoffs in Row 1. I bet against him because I just wanted the bet, but I actually think I'm going to lose that money.
It's unusual for you to take a suboptimal bet.
It is. I was just, you know, interested in making some kind of prediction like that, and I left him off my original picks for playoffs, and I stuck with my guns, and now I deeply think I was wrong.
But how's he doing? Is he winning so far?
He's got 2 draws and a win, and I think he hasn't played Week 4 yet. He definitely turned a win into a draw at least once from what I saw.
I
think it's an interesting case, though. I mean, I haven't seen him play this. I mean, I've seen Larkstar play plenty, but not his Norse. But it's really interesting how... I mean, the playstyle people have does make the big difference at some point.
Right, and you got to find the right race that gels with your playstyle. Like,
yeah, plus your willingness to take risks does factor into... If that sort of matches the playstyle you have and it's unexpected for people, I mean, a lot of people have difficulties playing against races that they don't get to play against a lot, like vamps and stuff. But, I mean, I just love the fact that we talk about sort of min-maxing teams and you should play in this way and this is the way to and so on. But then someone does something different and they do it well enough to simply not be denied.
Norse are certainly a team that can do some crazy stuff too.
Yeah, I'm sad to say I played a lot of Norse. I never made them work that way. I need to check up on this.
Yeah. What about you, Metal? Is there any match you're not looking forward to playing this season?
Guess who's in my division? I've got Gengar this season.
Ah, I almost said that too.
I've got, wow. I think he's got 5 Dirty Player Skeletons at the moment. And I've been watching some of his other games, and he's literally, like, just going all out to crush everybody he faces.
Well, and I mean, it's you, so of course he's going to go all out.
Yeah, that's my position within the league already is enough to draw that kind of attention anyway. And then I guess
people don't go out of the way to kill my players because they know I don't care about my players, but they do go out of my way to win. And because they know I want to win.
No, I get that. Like I'm going out to win. My goal is to do well this season. And I'm obviously a foul heavy coach as well, so it's gonna be bloody on both sides. I kind of don't want to play it because I want to. It's one of those games where you're like, I know he's gonna make fouls that aren't optimal, and I know he's gonna make decisions that are gonna be designed to hurt me rather than necessary to win the game. And I'm normally okay with that, but I've never really played Necro as much as I wanted to. I have played them a little bit in the past, but it's one of those teams that I've wanted to give another really good go to. And if I just get wrecked because in a meaningless game, it's gonna feel bad because I'm then gonna have to rebuild my team up again to take the proper shot. I don't know. I don't mind losing my team in like a must win, all out, you know, both teams trying to win kind of game, and I'm making decisions that are putting players at risk, and that's fine. It's a game where I'm probably going to win or lose based on Kaz dice, and there's going to be very little input either way. That doesn't feel so great to me. And I get that people have had we've talked
like
about this.
That's like a third of every Blood Bowl game, though.
Yeah. We've talked about this versus Arabi, and we've talked about people having to play Arabi in the past, and whether it's fair that it's okay for them to have to play opponents that play that way too. And I get that. And I've never said that they shouldn't feel that way, but it's just part of Blood Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, you have him in round 9, so at least that's, or week 9, that's at least a little bit better than early on.
You're playing a regen team. What do you care? It'll be fine.
Like I said, I've got a bench as well. I've got 15 players at the moment. So,
I
think I might be at 16 because I think I killed a witch last game. So it's not like can't fall back hard as well. And I'm going to be given as good as I'm getting. You know I am. But it's just one of those games that's going to turn into, like, I swear, if I said to Robbie, do you want to play this match? He'd love it because he just loves the carnage on both sides. But for me, I prefer to play the game a little more.
I could see why that would be your one that you would not look forward to. What about you? Oh, that's right. You're not in the Stregus. That's right.
Yeah. So I don't even know my opponents.
Yeah, he's in clan, and he just... What are you playing in clan this season?
I'm playing my my same lizard team. I mean, I have block guard on all the Saurus and the Crocs as well, and I have this one super skink because everyone needs to roll 3 doubles on a skink, so I have block, sure hands, and I have leader on him even, so he's
a leader
affordable.
Skink.
Yeah, he's the only way to afford a skink with 3 levels, so... I mean, otherwise, a skink would not make it past 1, maybe 2
levels. I just
love
the fact that you've got leader on a skink. Like, how well removable is that?
What?
Yeah. I mean, you have to factor in, I would never take that in a perpetual foreman, of course, but in clan, it just comes down to the team is too expensive. Normally, I would just have rookie skinks every season. That's my go-to. But, I mean, it's fine to go 1 reroll with a team if you have a shorthand skink. And then he rolled block. And I'm like, okay, crap, he's getting closer and closer to leveling and in the same season. And I'm like, okay, if he gets a third skill, I'm for sure not keeping him. And then he rolls a double for leader, which then pays for block. So it's fine, actually.
So are you now at zero rostered rerolls? Please tell me you've got at least one.
I have one.
That's nuts. That's yeah, okay.
I'm totally fine playing very few rerolls. I don't know. It's all right. Way back in tabletop, I think it was third revision or something. You kind of lost reroll so often to events that happened. So you ended up often playing without rerolls, unless it was a competition. So I'm really used to playing super, super, super cautious. And I mean, I know that's kind of my thing. It's sometimes so cautious. It doesn't mean I'm slow, but I'm so cautious, it's almost crazy sometimes.
I respect risk-adverse play.
Yeah, I mean, I totally know how to do the opposite as well. But
I was
going to
say,
when
is the suit fed? If you're willing to roll a 5+, I'm your biggest fan. Come back.
It's about when you roll a 5+, but yes.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, it has the most effect to go from super cautious to all-out aggro if they don't expect it. It's exactly like poker in that regard. And now I've given away my hand. No.
Yeah, poker references in the podcast.
And it wasn't
for me. Exactly.
How
fill out your bingo cards.
No, I don't need to get one because it wasn't you that made it.
No, it's even better. That should be the rare bingo card.
Well, when it's right, it's right.
That's interesting. No, I get it. I mean, I'm still stuck at a leader skink. Gotta be like priority number one. Are you in Div 2 next season? Are we in the same division?
No, we're not, actually.
Because I would take that matchup just to lightning bolt that skink.
Everyone does. It's totally fine. It's just a matter of time before
I know that.
I tell my clan,
I'm going into this match to lightning bolt this skink. It's not about winning, it's about sending a message. It's fine.
Yeah, but see, this is why you keep the TV down, so you don't give away lightning bolts.
But it's a triple-double skink?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Then I don't hate leader at all. I'm good.
No. Actually. It does compute from
sense.
A min max.
If it was a first double level.
Oh, absolutely not. No.
Yeah, well, and I unfortunately have seen some interesting first-level double skinks of late. Or first double. I guess not necessarily the first level, but there's, you know, dirty player skinks in Rel. There's kick skinks in Rel that don't have block. There was one other one that just made me crazy. I think there was a guard skink that I saw, and I wanted to cry.
My favorite player, I think, ever in Rebel, or one of my favorite players, was the rookie who got told how good kick is. And you should put it on a player that you protect on Wood Elves.
Like the War Dancer.
So he gave it to a War Dancer. And I was just like, whoever mentored that poor guy was like, they missed a step. Yes,
if
you're right.
Like a level, like a 6th level skill, I mean, that's actually fine.
No, it was like level 2 or something. It was like tackle kick.
We all get kick as my legend, don't they?
And then it took like
Mighty
Blow after. It hung around for ages as well because it was like tackle,
it did.
Kick, Mighty Blow plus strength or plus agi or something. And it was just like,
didn't that team make playoffs too? I feel like that team made playoffs.
I feel like I've seen it in playoffs. I love that it survived and went well for the guy, but it was just, I feel like someone at some point should have went, yeah, when we said like protect this skill, we didn't mean put it on a War Dancer.
Put it on a useless
But you know he's
player.
Never going to be on the line of scrimmage, so there's that.
Well, yeah. I mean it's fair. It's
I mean you
fair.
You could hypothetically argue that they already start with so many good skills that you can waste one, but no one's really going to believe that.
After you have tackle and sure hands,
yeah.
It strip. Really doesn't matter what you get. I mean strip. Nah. Yeah, you need one strip one, but
you can take
if
friendly,
you've got the other
you
one,
can
has
take
strip.
Sidestep, you can take...
You can take all those things.
But
you
can
also take kick. It's That's exactly right.
I love that plan. I don't know, right? I love that plan. I like I say, I love that it worked for him in the end, but it did feel like a breakdown in communications at one point.
We talk about that player. Like, you know how many normal war dancers out there with frenzy and sidestep? Dozens and hundreds of them. We don't talk about those, but we're talking about the kick one.
I can't even remember its name. I just remember that it was awesome. And yeah.
Yeah. That's like when we talk about pass block catchers.
Oh.
He who catches unseen.
But he who has no effect on the results, unseen.
Jeez. Yeah. Did not affect the outcome of the game, just the way I played it, which caused me to lose.
I like having like threats that people don't expect, somewhat. Like, one of my current favorite player on my Necro team, not my Mighty Blow Werewolf. My current favorite player on my Necro team is a zombie that got guard and then rolled doubles again, so I gave it stand firm. And I call him a mini flesh golem. And you know what? Him.
I thought it was a body part that was your mini flesh golem.
Yes, well done. My baby flesh golem.
Ooh, it's getting even worse now.
He doesn't have block, and he needs block really badly. I'm soldiering on.
This is just getting worse and worse, Metal. I think you need to switch topics.
Just don't give it a strength bust.
You know what? You know what? He took a strength bust last game, but regenerated it.
Oh, it's good he's got regen. That's very useful.
But yeah, he actually took a strength bust last game.
Man.
Oh, dear. But no, it's like, nobody expects it. So everyone's just like, oh, yeah, this is a zombie. And then he goes, no, I'm not going anywhere. And I've got guard. And I'm stood next to two, you know, between my two, like, two flesh golems on their own can't seem to hold a line to save their life. But two flesh golems and him are, like, actually working really effectively to lock down entire chunks of the pitch. And I'm really pleased with it. And I really, really want him to get blocked. I'm also low-key hoping that Nuffle's going to reward me for taking the second double and hit me up with some of that lovely, lovely plus strength.
Yeah, I'd say if you hit strength on that, that actually is like a god-tier zombie.
No, I would absolutely... I don't know if I'd take strength on a lot of zombies, but I would absolutely take strength on him.
Even a guard zombie gets plus strength.
Oh, yeah, that's a guard zombie. Sure. But a guard stand firm plus strength zombie would be incredible.
Three golems on a team? Oh, my God.
No, he's been a lot of fun. I like him a lot. It's weird how it's not always the normal players that, you know, that draw your affection on your team, right?
It's true, though. I mean, that's certainly been my experience.
Because, like, we know that Archangel, he loves that catcher. And he does play around having it.
He tries to keep it on the pitch.
Speaking of something else I pulled off in Imperium, I was in the Imperium tournament for all of about two games because I got absolutely battered by dice in the first one. I don't think my opponent will mind me saying it was a ridiculous dicing. But in the second game, I actually beat Unseen Walker because of a pass block Black Orc. Who made the difference by adding -1 to the player's catch to stop him from scoring.
That's awesome.
So So he was, you know, I was sat there waiting for two whole games, waiting for that pass block to be useful because it was a random addition to the player. It was totally not a choice. I'm not that crazy, and he nailed the pass block, and I was like, yes, I feel validated. Have you tried Imperium at all, Meshuggah?
Well,
or are you too tryhard?
I haven't actually. I mean, I actually spent some time really looking into it and sort of considering, do I want to go in on this and how much time is that going to take? And I ended up actually, this is going to sound like Fed. I ended up going, this is going to take so much more time than I honestly have at this point. And I considered, what do I need to drop to get it in? I love the format. I love the setup as a whole. But I mean, I'd have
Fed,
to.
You're letting that one go. he's just said he needed to consider what he needed to drop to get it in. And you and you're going at me when he's saying stuff like that. This isn't fair.
I am.
All right. Don't know how to back out of that one. Anyhow.
Yes, that also makes it worse.
I heard that one as well, but that one was actually intentional, so it's all right.
Oh dear. People are going to be sat there going,
I
my
love
God.
The format. I love the format of Imperium. I think it's super cool, and honestly, from having played Blood Bowl since the 80s, I can say that it's probably the first really strange format that felt completely fresh. I've never seen anything that's as different. I've never even heard anyone talk about that other than, I heard the podcast where you joked about it and then no one thought that was going to happen.
Yeah, that's kind of Rebel for you though, isn't it? Like people crack off the cuff jokes and stuff and then all of a sudden out of nowhere it happens.
Yeah. The thing that goes into this is I was super, super deep into Magic the Gathering when, like, super early in the card game as well. So for me, the combination of two of my most played games all time of any category, that's my wheelhouse. But it's too hard to get into now for me.
You say too hard to get into. The one good thing that they do is... They do seasonal resets, so there's very
they do,
much.
They do.
God damn it, Fed, leave me alone. It's been a while since we've done this, for crying out loud. I'm out of practice. They do have seasonal resets, which does help with the feeling that you can't compete. You know, if you can find time to get involved at the start of a new season, which is coming up really soon.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. The problem for me is it's a work Blood Bowl balance.
Yeah, I get that
situation. I mean, I'm pretty bad in terms of work situation as well. So I have a lot of work to do.
What he's trying to say is he's a super important person. And,
I'm a weak person that doesn't say no to anything, and therefore you don't have time to play Imperium. So
that's fair.
No, I would like, I mean, if I only played, let's say, two leagues, I think I would go all in on Imperium and maybe keep, I couldn't drop Chaos Invitational that I run, but Chaos and Clan,
one
I
of
got
those,
in a plug.
I kind of can't drop this, I play the kind of thing.
Well, the thing is, that's just bi-weekly games, so that's just kind of one game.
Hmm.
So I could do that. That's optional for me, but I help
good about
out so much in
What's
other
good about Imperium? And I am going to sell Imperium to anybody who's listening because it's coming up soon, guys, like the new season. But one of the best things about it is that it is there for when you have a free weekend or a free... You know what I mean? If you have a week where you're like, oh, I've got tons of free time and maybe the missus is out and about and she's not, you know, she's got like... Yeah. She's got a work thing and... Or she's working all the time, or you know, she's like for me, it's like the kids go down the caravan with the missus at a weekend, and it's like I have got to stay home and watch the pets. That's my role in this grand scheme. It's like, well, yeah, okay, that's fine. I've got a weekend. I'll sign up to one of the weekend developmental tournaments or something and play a weekend of ridiculous Blood Bowl, and it doesn't matter that I won't be particularly stacked for the rest of the season because it's you know there's enough. Levers and bells and whistles in there that they kind of do fairly balance like the amount of power that some of the more developed players can bring. You should really never sleep on Imperium. Give it a look if you find yourself with a free weekend, just go, oh, see what I can play in this weekend.
Yeah, for me it kind of comes back to the whole if I'm in it, I'm in it to win. And that takes way more than just play for fun. So it's really that part. I totally get, and I looked at all the different sort of, this was a while ago, but I looked at all the ways to get in and so on, and I really like those ideas. And I mean, it certainly works, and it's just because it's so fresh. I really like the format, but hard to get in. Actually, really... really tricky to not be in the other competitions that I mean, it's really hard to run communities but not play in them.
Speaking of the Eddie Invitational, when is how is that going? Is there a new season coming up soon, or?
We are in the third round out of five, and then we have a month of playoffs as well. So at the end of the summer, we'll be in a new season. And it's a format with 12 invited leagues. Rebels always invited. I'm not biased at all. it's 12 invited leagues, but in reality, it's about 10 that have always been in. And we're really collaborating to make this happen. And it's 6 players, so different setup than clan, fresh teams each season, no powers, so a little lighter on the admin time. But we also have a different setup in terms of we have kill points and a little bit like that. So it's a little goofier, but certainly very, very competitive when it comes to the playoff situation there. That's Rebel won 1 year. Like last year, we had a team that barely made it to playoffs that actually did super, super well. That's OCC won the last season, and they were just crushing it.
I wonder why I'd heard far less updates from Team Rebel.
Hummer. Yeah.
Is Hummer still playing right there, or is he still?
Yeah, he still runs it. I mean, he's one of my admins, so he has to.
Yeah.
I also know him well, way too well. He can't say no to me at this point.
Well, I'm not going to follow that one up.
Well!
I feel like that's a super fed well right there.
Yeah. There are certain things you don't want to know about your admins, you know?
No,
I'm just kidding.
Don't say that. They really do.
They actually like knowing just about everything you'll tell them.
Yeah.
These are the kind of guys that beg to watch us stream spreadsheets on Division Day. I mean, come on, they want to know everything.
Oh yeah.
Well, and they like to be able to, you know, have it fit or twist the narrative of like whatever. So if they get some kind of detail into your insight, they're like, this is why the market died.
Yeah.
The market died because it was crap. I've got to put it out there, right? That's not even a one. That's just a fact. If you stop it, boys, it was bad.
I still see posts. We should bring the market back.
I miss the market. Oh dear.
I bought a player from the market. He died the first game.
I heard that a lot. I actually killed a player from the market the first game I played.
I got told this week, just this week, that I think Dire Sickfish is about to play one of my old players on the market. And I was like, and?
Kill it. That should be the response. That should always be the response.
Shawman's still got one just of my kill players it. Going as well. And to be honest, my players have survived fairly effectively. The only one I think that died...
Regen.
Was that notable one that died was actually the one that Synergy bought, and that was only because he re-rolled the team, not because it actually died. So, you know, he should still be commended, I think, for taking the player out of the picture.
Sure.
Yeah, so I think we've basically, I don't know what we were talking about there.
Just to be honest, I mean, you were mentioning Rebel in Chaos Invitational and so on. They're still doing fine, and it's really they're super good. I mean, it's essentially the same people playing second season in a row now, and they're all super engaged in it as well. So they're really repping Rebel. So that's good.
I like that.
And I have a question for you: what race is Morka playing?
Morka's playing vampires this time off the bat. Oh, no, they're not in Chaos Invitational. Morka's playing vampires in Big O.
Is he really? How's that going? I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, apparently it's going fairly well.
That's going to make Sai happy. Sai probably knows that already.
Are you sure? Yeah, Sai was there. I found out on Excessor stream. Duh.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, yeah. Mark has gone to...
Oh, yeah. Bloody viruses.
We play vampires.
That's his teams. Yeah. Vampires. 1-1-2. Agi-5. Yeah, it's 3 block and 1 Agi-5.
You can't and laugh leader at Thrall. Marker playing vampires when Lumi plays vampires super fast.
I was just thinking about that. I'm like, you know, there are some interesting coaches that are sucked into vampires right now. Right now, we've got Lumi, we've got McMackie, we've got Andy Davo, now Morka. That is 4. I guess 3 of those 4 are consistently well-known Agi coaches. McMackie, he plays Agi well, but I think he's more known for, obviously, his Khemri and Rebel. But I think he just plays really good control style. He's having great success with them. And I think the Agi coaches are having a different time with them, but they can play the Agi game. It's really interesting.
Vampires are such a strange mindset, I think. Like, it's so different from so many other teams.
They're not an Agi team, but they can sort of play that way because they've got Agi 4.
But you can't play, like, carte blanche like you have Agi 4 because, of course, then as soon as you've got to roll dice on a Thrall.
Like, yeah,
you're not an Agi team anymore, but you need to take a Thrall with you because if you fail that Bloodlust, well...
Right. I know McMackie's doing really well with them, and I'm curious if that's because of his background in control teams or if it's just, you know, dice.
Is it just dice?
Because I think Lumi's like Lumi coaches and plays the vamps well. I don't when I watch his games, I don't see him do anything necessarily wrong. But I mean, he's no stretch of the imagination the strongest vamp coach in Rebel. That would be Random Boy, and Random Boy is not the strongest coach overall, but he's definitely the strongest vampire coach. So I'm just curious how that breaks down because that is definitely a suboptimal team, but. Maybe you have to play them suboptimally to get the most out of them.
There's a reason vampires are seen to be the stunty plus, right? They're not quite a stunty team, but they're just above. They're rated just above them in a lot of ways. In terms
Did you did you read the old post nowadays that Shlees did on the different categories and playstyles and stuff?
I do remember, yeah.
Yeah, because statistically, looking at Rebel, MML, what was that? What league is that? I don't remember. Anyhow, OCC and CCL. So quite a large data set. And statistically, Vampires, Kislev, and Dark Elves are in the same category of sort of how they perform. So it doesn't mean they play the same, but they certainly seem to live off similar things. But they are in a cluster called, in his case, he called it slippery customers, I think. So they don't quite fit into the normal clusters, but they are very similar in how they statistically play. And they're really hard teams. I mean, Dark Elves in the same as Vampires and Kislev. Does say that you can do stuff with them. And I mean, you know, Keith Lev, so it's fed, so.
Have you seen, by the by, looking at. Because we were talking about Random Boy being, you know, our premier vamp coach. He's 1-1-1, but we do also know that it's an even numbered season, which means the Random Boy curse is in full effect. It seems to be, people consider it to be a joke or, a meme, but it's so very. Accurate so often is that Random Boy just seems to perform insanely better during odd numbered seasons. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is, but it's just a thing. It's just a thing. But yeah, what was it? I was going somewhere with that. Have you seen the rest of G-Man 1? It's not necessarily who you'd expect. At the top 5 after three or 4 weeks of games.
I know there's been some upsets, and by some upsets I mean a lot of upsets. A lot of beat up teams that were previously well. I mean, Sean Mann's still on top. Wolfbark doing well with Skaven, continuing where he left off last season.
For me, the New York Palander is the Orc team that's turned up.
That's a big start.
That's a big 2-1-0. I don't know who he's played yet.
I'll have to check that out.
I knew you'd follow up on this.
Yeah, because that makes a big difference. He beat Random Boy, and he beat Yorick's Hell's Doofuses. What's that team?
That's a Chaos team. Who are, and... by the way, in fifth in that division. So far.
He's got a Goblin.
And then a draw against Darkside Dreamers.
That's Jester's Dark Elves. Jester's no slouch. He's been around in G-Man for a couple of seasons now. Kim's Necro team is one that I think, without a shadow of a doubt, Breakneck Rampage. I think we're going to be... I have them on our... We're going to see these boys in playoffs at some point soon. Because have you seen that team?
I like the Orc team. They've got...
It's a...
Well, a lot of guard and a lot of strength.
Okay.
It's got two strength up Orcs.
I'm going to let you finish, right? This guy has a strength 5 block guard Mighty Blow Flesh Golem, a Blodge Flesh Golem, piling on a Pom Jump Up White, a strength 4 Mighty Blow... Sorry, it's strength 4 block Pom Tackle Jump Up Werewolf.
You're trying to impress a rel coach with the Necro team.
This is the one that I think pushes it over the limit. Blodge, Mighty Blow, Movement 10. Werewolf.
Oh, nice.
Now, that's really good.
I'll take that.
Movement 10's good. For sure.
I think that's the one thing that Rel never really had in their werewolves. Rel have had this plus strength.
There was a Move 10 Wolf at one point.
Was there a Move 10 Wolf? I do not remember.
It was. It was in the threes, the tier threes.
In any case, yeah. I'm looking at Okim as being one to watch, I think. He's got such a nice team, and he's a really good coach. So I think that's one to watch in G-Man 1. I think we're going to see him in playoffs sooner rather than later.
Yeah. The Dork team definitely has some stuff that you don't usually see, though. 6 strength 4 players on top of a troll is... that's a lot of control.
That's a lot of strength.
And they all have guard. Like he's built orcs the way orcs want to be built.
Yep.
Put it that way. I would pity whatever Lizardman team has to play that team.
What are you? We're you, but better.
Basically.
Oh god, yeah, I can see that. Oh, it's a good team. It's clear to see from like what the teams have got going for it. Why it's pulling in the wins, right?
Yeah, if it can. You know, maintain that shape that it is in right now and even improve upon it, because he does have a fresh blitzer. Going into playoffs, it'll be a powerhouse for sure.
You've got to remember, though, that maintaining anything in a division with, like, Sage and Jimmy Fantastic and Yorick's Hell of Doofuses and that Necro team, like, there's a lot of blood getting shed. And, of course, Shawman's Lord of the Dance.
That's the reason why I re-ruled off of my orcs. I had to maintain the team, or more of the fact, I had to rebuild an orc team along similar types of teams, and that was not fun. So, yeah, I know exactly what is ahead of good old New York Pylanders.
I still think they've got it in them to go well. I think they're doing good. What shall we do now? Shall we move on to? Are we still? What are we doing with the top 40? Are we? Do we need to trim this list?
I mean, it's still in the phase now where we would be making amendments, right?
So there's one that you want to make this week.
All right, go for it.
So give us a quick rundown, Fed. Who's currently on the list?
Did we make the amendments last time? Who was the one that we settled on? Because we did not post them to the top official list.
Did we not? Are you sure?
Because I still see Herringzord on here.
Oh, okay. We took off Herringzord and we took off Dirtief.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily remember who we put on. Sorry. Did Grandview King hit us with the episode 100 review?
Oh man, that was a long episode. I don't want to have to go back and watch the VOD. Somebody tell us on the Reddit or on Discord. Ping us and my dudes.
Right now.
Anyway, the list of people that are definitely on the list: Thomas T, The Sage, Ornan, Motley, McMackie, Morka, Sandune, Viking Cop, Gerber, Kedgeroos, Jape NZ, Staticus, Random Boy, Luminous, Sace, Gdanik, Arch XL, Crystal Hunter, Mistaze, Toast Guy, Horny Cricket, Superfed TV, Walkathon, Hindi, Jimmy Fantastic, Papa Nasty, Calric, Pete, Fiction, HUD, Larkstar, Bleeding Hippie, Infinite Pink, Travel Scrabble, Not for Science, Wolf Bark, Jamis McGammis, and Spoony Bard.
Was Walkathon still on that? He was.
I think was him.
Because we hadn't
Walkathon?
Yes. He's there.
He was after me on the list.
We hadn't taken him off because we wanted to let him play his Challengers final, which was after the podcast.
Correct.
I remember that. I'm now taking him off. I love Walkathon. I love him. He's such a lovely dude. I've got all respect in the universe for him. However, that all being said, I have never seen a man's knockout cup run look anything quite like that. It felt at every single step of the way he wanted to lose. If you go back and watch his play, you know what? He got to the finals of the Challenger Cup. He actually lost to Larkstar, believe it or not. Who you're scared of.
I know. That's how Larkstar got into my division. It's great.
Yeah, it was because of that game. So I suppose you're extra happy about this. I mean, to be fair to Walkathon, his team basically blew up in that final match. But he felt on the way there like he'd been doing everything he could possibly do to sabotage his own run. And he's a much... What gets me is, right, and he knows, I've spoken to him about it, he's not going to take this personally, I don't think. So don't all get upset about it. On his behalf, because he knows. I've talked, like I say, I've spoken about the thingies, and he was like, I had a good crack, it was good fun, you know what I mean, kind of thing, and he was playing for laughs towards the end. I think his team was basically, he decided it was going to be re-rolled anyway, so...
Was this one of your additions originally?
He was, and then... But he was a long time ago, and he is a very good coach. He's a much better coach than he showed us on that run. And I will argue that for months to come, that he did not show what he's capable of. The problem being that he really, really didn't show what he's capable of.
Kislev are a tough team for sure. I think the thing with it, with that run was the thing when you're watching a game sometimes and you can see someone start to do something like they have an idea or like a well thought out turn where everything's planned out. That was not what I was seeing. I was seeing, I move a character. Wait, what was I doing? Well, now I got to move this character. I guess I could have moved that guy that way. You know what? I'm going to blitz the ball. It was just a lot of indecision and it didn't seem like it was very...
We have
a
really old school like English term for that. The tail was wagging the dog.
Yes, the tail was wagging the dog, and that playoff run. I think that's a perfect example of it. Which is, you know, a fixable thing. But with Kislev, there are so many options that you do have to think those through, and have one coordinated plan of attack. And once you decide this is the turn, then you just have to throw everything you've got at that one thing.
They aren't a team.
And if you're indecisive about it, you're going to lose slowly.
They aren't a team that you can kind of half and half, right? They're like, you're all in or you're not.
Right. And you don't want your opponent to tell you when you're all in, which is even worse. But yeah. So who are you putting on in place of Walker?
I don't know. I hadn't got that far. I just knew that he was the one we needed to take off.
Okay.
I was hoping you may have some suggestions.
There are some that are still not on this list that are very important. Was Archangel one that we added last time?
Archangel went on during the
okay.
episode 100. He did.
Okay. Put him on there. Go back through the ones that aren't on there still. Let's see. Was Volps my pick for last time?
I think
as
you
well?
Put him on too. I believe you put him on too.
I know I mentioned him, so maybe that was the other one that was on there. I'm just looking at my other note page, and these ones were highlighted, so that makes me think that those are the ones. That would leave me with someone like Lazarus Diggs, worth considering. Or, you know, if we want to put in somebody that has notoriously flopped in playoffs but done very well consistently for, throughout the regular season, Solo Dragonfire's there.
I like Sol, but you know what I like the most about Sol is sharing a Discord server with him when he's having a game, because just watching him slowly melt into salt and depression, and
he tilts very well.
He does tilt like a champion does. So,
gosh, there's names that are, you know, not actively playing right now that are up there too. But you know, somebody like Hipster had a great run in Rebel,
and then not forgot currently. How to screen.
Well, the whole not screening thing was actually like that was his strategic choice. He was thinking, if I force GFIs, it's fine. So I don't know. He wanted more recovery options. It was a choice, but it was a choice. That's what I've got pretty much for Rel. I guess I can take a look over at G-Man and see what are names that you can yay or nay at me. People that I've seen consistently on top.
What about you said Lazarus was there, and I actually really rate Lazarus as a great coach.
I made playoffs and played in Rel 1
for a long time. At least, and you know what?
3 or 4 seasons.
He really did drag like the corpse of a team around with him quite a bit as well.
Yeah.
There was, what was the other? Louis Jano has to be in
Louis
the conversation. Chanel. Like, there was many times that we watched Louis Jano play, and we were like, I don't quite know what he's doing right now. But there were other times when it was like, he just did really, really, you know, he's so consistent that, yes, occasionally he makes you go, wah. But actually,
he was very good at the kill. He was not good at the control. Whereas Lazarus was, I think, a lot better with the control.
True.
We've got a lot of
Nurgle coaches on this list.
I guess technically you could say, well, okay, so if we wanted to go a different direction, somebody like T-Self certainly gets a nod.
I'm gonna mention another one from the Big O, and I really want to see how he does this season on his Necro team. But I have always considered Synergy one of the better Big O players that never really gets talked about, because he just played a lot of Nurgle. And you know what? Like 90% of his games, he'd do really, really well. And then like he'd have that 10% of the games where his head just went sideways, and you'd go, "Why are you doing that, mate?" So it's a weird one. I think I don't know if it's like a Nurgle problem at this point.
Could be.
He's always a coach that I enjoy watching, and I think he is better than he necessarily gets credited for.
Names that are familiar. Gowdy. How's Gowdy?
We talked about Gowdy a lot. Gowdy, again, is one of those coaches that does very, very well, and then occasionally just goes, I've got a big hand Agi 5 gutter runner. I'm not going to use it to pick up the ball. I'm going to use a Storm Vermin to pick up the ball.
Okay.
And I love Gowdy. He's a great coach. He's great fun to play against. But sometimes he just makes you stop and go, pardon?
You're going to have to help with G-Man then, because I'm just looking at names that are familiar from playing in playoffs a bunch.
Have you got anyone for us, Mashuga? You're the other guest.
I'm looking. Did you have Papa on the list?
We do have Papa on the list.
Oh, okay. Because I've never seen him play Chaos as he is now, but he has a fair number of games with Orcs, I know. So should do fairly well with Chaos. I don't know. I don't know if I'm qualified to really say something here. I'm looking at names.
I think anyone who we invite along is qualified to have an opinion.
I mean, I actually know most of these coaches really well. I've played many of them in many different comps before, but I don't know their teams right now, and I don't know how the other teams in their divisions are, so it's a little harder to then give a good sort of shout-out, I think.
Fair. You know what? Can we put Keander on there for being the best Goblin coach I've ever met? is that allowed? Or am I going to get vetoed for that, Fed?
Have you played
the gym? I mean, answer me this, all right? If, say, we're not doing a top five, top ten, but if you take the top five, you take the top ten Rebel coaches, and you put them on Goblin teams in similar situations, and you made them play Goblins, and you made them play to win, you think they play better than him?
The question, okay, do you think Mysterious is a better Goblin coach than him?
I mean, I think Mysterious won more than him, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I wasn't gonna live or die on the choice. I was just putting it up there for the suggestion.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's a thing. So yeah, I mean, it's like saying Sky Blumonti is like the best halfling coach because he plays only halflings and he plays them a lot.
Best halflings coach because we have Chubbison, who's a better halfling coach.
Still, but if you pick a tiny hill that you want to die on as the thing. Of all things,
tiny hill. I see what you did
there. I am going to be the infinite ogre coach, and you play them enough to the point where you're, you know, good at playing the suboptimal team. And people will say, you know, he's got mechanics that apply elsewhere. Sure, he could play a dark elf team and do really well or whatever. But does that mean that he's that good overall? I don't know.
I think Stunties are such a difficult, they're such a difficult player to assess, right? Like,
yeah. Well, like when you consider things like throw teammate, right? Like, when is that the optimal play?
When is that the optimal play?
The answer can't be when it's the only play. Because I'm sure there are times where it is optimal to do a throw teammate play when it is not the only option that you have.
Yeah, I think throw teammate is very much one of the marks of the... of, like, knowing when to do that is very much a mark of a good coach. I've got one for you. Have you ever heard of a coach named Rivers?
I don't think I have. So you know who's not on the list, though, that should be, is probably Toast Guy.
Is Toast Guy not on the list? Are you sure Toast Guy's not on the list? Toast Guy definitely should be on the list. That's like
he's on the list. He is on the list.
I expected that to be on the list. I'm looking at the coach that I played a few seasons back that was I thought was really, really good. It was back in when I first rewrote. I think it was when Brett team played against him on his Serpents of Inner. He's been in the playoffs on them, too, season 12. And he played before that. My brother's embalmed. Solid win rate for a Khemri team. I'm going to go with him. I think Rivers. Right. I think so.
Dark Elf. Oh, Pan. Serpents of Interrock. Yes, I do recognize this team. Yes. Okay. I did watch them play one game. Didn't I play them?
You may have played them, yeah.
Didn't I knock him out of playoffs?
I'm looking now through the history. I don't think so, because he didn't go this season.
Season 12.
No, he lost to Not for Science in season 12.
Oh, okay.
So you probably remember it from watching that game.
It was a different Dark Elf team that I played this season. That's what it was. But, this is a good team. And a good coach. Yeah, I remember this.
Look at his thing as well. I mean, like, he went in Division 5A. He qualified in one season for playoffs. And yes,
right.
Admittedly, he did run into Not for Science in Game 1, which is, you know, that's not...
That's another cop coach, yeah.
Isn't a mark of failure, right? But in our division, in that season 12 alone, if you're just taking that in a nutshell, he took on Bleeding Hippie and won. He took on Razzlestorm, who is fairly well known. I believe he used to play in Ariel for a while and then came over to G-Man to join us. He beat Zinj 4-0. He beat Hummersep. Beating Chubstep is something else, I suppose. Berserk, who's a decent coach. Drew with a guy Demonical. Beat Ambitank, who's a very good coach.
I was confusing him with Dusseldorf Rainfire. That's who I played.
Drew Pyro TJ. Beat me. Beat Ramhard, who's another good coach. Like, there was a solid number of coaches. Yeah. We were in, like, the party div to end all party divs that season, and he came out and went to playoffs, so...
I like that choice.
Wow, I picked something that Superfed likes. Woo! What is this?
A good choice.
The apocalypse is coming, people.
Alright, so we got Ravers added, and I added last week's. We figured it out. Vulps and Archangel. Okay, cool.
Is there anyone there who you want off?
We can do just one. We spent a lot of time on that one.
We did. We had to go back and forth a lot. And also decide if we rated goblins.
Right. Right. And then next time we can keep pruning.
Yeah, okay. It's tough, I think, at this point, because we have got a lot of very, very good coaches on there. And like I say, if Walkathon had made any other Challenger Cup run, he'd probably still be on there too. But he made that Challenger Cup run. Sorry, Walker. But you did. I feel bad because
he got there off
dude.
The back of a 5 Stunty div, right?
Yeah, but he's a good coach outside.
I would love to play Kislev against Stunties. Oh, man. So much fun. They can't hold the ball. You got diving tackle. They can't dodge. Oh, that sounds so nice.
Fair. I mean, he did also make it to the Challenger Cup final. I don't know why I'm defending the guy I took off, but I am. I think I really want to know what his thought process was.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah, it does. It does. So I think we're just about... Has anyone got anything else they need to add or say before we move on? Anything they wanted to talk about, Fed? I don't know.
No, there's a Baldur's Gate trailer that came out that I'm just dying to watch as soon as we're done.
Send it to me. just...
Michael's posted it in the beer hall.
Oh, did he really? Okay, cool. I'm super excited for Baldur's Gate 3. And I'm kind of excited they're making a new Dark Alliance, even if they released the most PS3 trailer I've ever seen for a PS4 game. You saw that, right? The Dark Alliance trailer?
No.
Oh my god. It looks like it's filmed with a GoPro. but it's all CGI, so why would they film with a GoPro? And it's got... You know, like, 15 years ago, when every single video game that had any form of violence in it whatsoever was like advertised with a really thumping heavy metal soundtrack and lots of sweeping
Doom.
Cuts and dudes getting chopped up and stuff.
Demify it, yeah.
Seriously, watch the trailer for Dark Alliance because it is a product of that time, is the only way I can describe it. But it's a shame because I'm actually really super excited for Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance. And I think I absolutely want to find a world where we do a geek cast at some point, Fed, because did you see any of the the PlayStation 5?
No, I didn't.
Oh, good God. You didn't? They're doing a complete remake of Demon's Souls. No. Oh. Like a HD remaster or nothing? No. They are taking Demon's Souls and fully, literally making and making Demon's Souls the modern version. It's going to be... Everything looks very Demon's Souls-y.
That's really a thing now. Like, I think after Final Fantasy, we're going to see a lot of old games like that get just...
But
remake,
Demon's Souls,
modern.
Dude, I'm going to send you the trailer for this, right? And if you can watch that and not go, I want to play this game, there's something wrong with you.
I mean, I haven't even beaten the first Dark Souls.
It doesn't matter. It looks great. it looks really sick. And also, there's a Resident Evil trailer on there. That the Resident Evil 8 looks amazing, too. But the problem I have with it is they're doing this whole thing where they just advertise stuff with CGI cutscenes rather than gameplay.
Well, and that sells, unfortunately.
Yeah. I've got a lot I want to talk about for the PlayStation 5, and there's also a lot of stuff I wanted to talk to you about the IGN one, and I'll mention a few bits of that after
the podcast over as well, because the IGN, like, IGN did a games presentation thing, and it was one of the biggest, like, car crashes I've ever seen on Twitch.
I know they're trying to fill in the gap for E3, because E3 was not really a thing this year, even before all the, you know, pandemic stuff.
No, all of, like, the developers and stuff were, like, talking about the games and stuff from their house on their webcams and things. It was really a weird experience, but kind of cool. Meshuggah, are you at all into anything that's not Blood Bowl, or should we definitely?
I don't play a lot other than Blood Bowl right now. No, but I certainly have played a lot of other games. that's not the question. But I mean, the little teaching that I do, other than for PhD students, is game design. So, I mean,
cool.
I like teaching. I like talking about this. But I don't have any current titles that I'm really, really following.
I am all Tarkov right now, so it's...
aren't you all Tarkov IRL right now?
it's a little bit of both, right? It's bleeding into both. Those skills in Tarkov definitely affect what I think about now and the real world. But yeah, it is such a good game, but other than Tarkov, Baldur's Gate is on my radar, and if I'm not playing Tarkov, it's, you know, I guess I still play Legends of Runeterra on my phone now, because that's on there, but otherwise it's Blood Bowl, my game a week.
I'm kind of there. I've had so little free time during the lockdown and stuff that I really have struggled to get more than, like, I've struggled to get my one game a week in sometimes. It's been really rough, but I'm hoping, because, like, Path of Exile, I have a new league. The missus said to me, what do you want for Father's Day? And I genuinely said, well, Path of Exile have a new league on Friday, so what I really want for Father's Day is a day off. I said, if you can hook me up with that, we're set. Like, that's fine. Just, you know, you take the kids. We'll have dinner together and stuff, and we'll have, you know, like, whatever, but just a day off would be super good, so I can just sit and play.
Tarkov's on, it's week 3, basically, of The Wipe, which is, like, the new season of Path of Exile, so it's the same way. I took a lot of this week off just to play it. But, yeah, I can't imagine having the kids stuck home.
Yeah,
that would be very time-consuming,
to be honest. For them, they're doing their best, but it's just been a lot for anyone at this point. It's not just
right
parents and stuff. I mean, you know, I talked to one of my friends who lives on his own, and he's just gone nuts. Haringzord's been having a similar problem. He's, you know, I can imagine, like, I say this to the missus all the time. It's like, you know, a couple of days off would be amazing. Like, imagine, like, going back to living on my own for a few days, but then. Mm-hmm. After a couple of days, it would be too much. I'd want to be back.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird world we live in right now, mate. That's all I'm saying.
Really is.
But I really, really want to talk about, like, some games, and I'm going to send you some trailers afterwards. So I want to see if we can set up a non-Rebel podcast at some point and see who listens. We'll see if we can get someone else in who wants to talk about it too. I know there's been a few guys in the community have been interested in joining us. And we'll see if
for various subjects.
Yeah. Right. There's a lightning storm kicking off here as well, so we should almost certainly wrap up before, like, my house, like, the electrics go down or anything. You know, should be fine, but it can get a bit less fine.
Are you on the West Coast or?
What's that? I'm in Liverpool.
Oh, really? Northwest. Oh, I didn't realize. Oh, sorry. But yeah, close enough.
Yeah, it's the West Coast. It's the Northwest.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, Meshuggah, thank you so very much for joining us. Oh, wait.
Sure, no problem.
You're missing a bit.
What did I forget?
Yeah.
Fun I wanted
jokes.
To... Yeah, no, I wanted to.
I thought that's where you were going with your lightning setup.
No, genuinely, there's a lightning storm. I could tell, like, you were waiting for something. I've been looking into buying a car, and I went in and I saw this deal, this great deal. Like, the price was like half what it should have been on this Fiesta, and I was like, the guy says, oh, it runs like a dream, it's fantastic shape, you know, there's not many miles on the clock, The one problem is the stereo's broken and it's stuck on max volume. And I just sort of thought to myself, man, I can't turn that down.
Friend of mine is about to quit her job as a personal trainer. She's not really that big, and she doesn't think she's strong enough, so she handed her 2-week notice in.
Ha. Metal didn't get that one. I got one that's sort of a special thing for you, Fed. I know you've always been wondering about this one, actually. That, I mean, you're American when you go into the bathroom, and you're American when you get out of the bathroom, but what are you when you're in there?
Oh, I'm very European.
Yeah, there you go. You knew that one already. That sucks. That sucks.
We actually haven't had that one on the podcast before, so at least it wasn't a repeat. That's good. So you did well to bring a new one to us, even if I knew the punchline. I was waiting for the punchline, and then he hit it. So, you know, that's good. I'll accept that. Anyway,
if you set me up with my name in the punchline or in the joke, then I'm gonna give you the punchline.
Totally. That was fair.
But no, Meshuggah, it's been genuinely fun chatting to you. And I could sit there and talk to like you about like the statistics behind stuff, like, and the things we do in Clan.
I talk about other things than statistics, just to be really clear.
I wasn't saying you didn't, but I'm saying like it was definitely something that I wish we could have given more time to, but you know, there's a point where we can't give the entire podcast over to it.
No.
But it was fascinating hearing that side of things, and obviously it's always been fun debating that kind of stuff with you. So it's been genuinely good having you on, even if Fed probably hated every second of the Clan discussion.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
We need to do this slightly more often so I don't forget how to podcast, Fed.
I think he's getting weaker.
That's true.
But yeah, Meshuggah, so very much, mate.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
And Super Fed, thank you for once again being my number two.
Happy to be here. Happy to have a lovely chat and hang out and get that social interaction that we were just talking about.
Yeah, is it the same for you? Are you going a bit nuts too? Or
I'm good. I've got a nice bi-weekly schedule with the girlfriend where I'm staying with her off weeks, and then the time when I'm not staying with her, I'm just at home playing Tarkov with Sace and the boys. And
I love that, like the old my social interaction, like the old guard and Rel have. It's been fun watching their, they pick up a game and play a game to death for like 2 weeks, and then they pick up a new game, and they've been doing a lot on Tabletop Simulator as well, all of the older Rel guys, and I've really enjoyed kind of like them doubling down on that kind of like community aspect.
I think a lot of the games that we talk about and play, even with the larger global community, would have a lot of overlap. Like, I would not be at all surprised to hear of other pockets that play games like Battle Brothers, or you guys were all playing that card deck game. What is that called?
Slay the Spire.
Slay the Spire. I never got into that, but it looked like something that I would get into.
I don't know how you never got into that, because it genuinely feels like the kind of game you would play. And you,
I've watched it, and every time I've watched it, I'm like, I should really play this game, and I own the game, and I have never really sat down and taken the time to play it.
You know what, right? Next time you're on an off week with the missus, and Sace isn't around to play Tarkov with, play some Slay the Damn Spire.
I know.
Trust me, you'll really enjoy it.
You wouldn't believe the backlog of games I have like that are like that, where they're games where I know I'd enjoy it, but...
Dude, I'm still trying to finish Bloodborne. Like, I've got Bloodborne on the lad's PlayStation, and... trying to find time to squeeze in. Like,
you know, I played last month for the first time ever Grand Theft Auto 5. It was a lot of fun. But there was so many things that I wish they did differently. And then I was like, oh, they did this so they could sell me stuff online. I see.
Yeah.
And then I didn't like it as much.
It is a bit... Red Dead Redemption 2 is a bit like that as well, I feel.
Yeah. Oh, well. I'll try it when it's free. Epic Game Store gave it to me for free, so I played it.
Yeah, but
that was nice.
Trust me, play Slay the Spire.
I will, at some point.
Meshuggah, are you playing anything other than while we're here?
I'm not, but I mean, I kind of do a little bit of work with some game companies I can't really talk too much about, so we get to do a little bit of a sneak peek on some of the titles that they're working on, so that's fun.
Yeah, nice. But you know what? That's amazing and sounds fantastic until we go, yeah, but you can't tell us what it is.
No, exactly.
It's just like, well...
It's like...
That's not cool, the best conversation part, yeah, but
you can't promote a conversation beyond us going, well, that sounds like a lot of fun, and that's really awesome that you get to do that. But I wish we could tell us what it was so we could talk to you about it.
Well, so there's only one really large company here in Malmö developing games, so... there are films being made about it, so...
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
I need to put two and two together because I've not got a damn clue at the moment.
No. I couldn't talk much.
No, I get it. We're recorded. It's fine. So anyway, thank you, Meshuggah, for joining us. Thank you, Superfed.
Sure.
Superfed, we do need to chat off this podcast because we need to sort something out, because I've got so much to talk about that isn't Blood Bowl. And yes, but I also want to say thank you too. And I want to give everyone another shout because they're supporting us whilst everything else is going on, which is fantastic. Because it's not just supporting the podcast, it's supporting the Rebel. And we don't normally shout at the Bronze guys, but we're going to shout out everyone on the way. So it's Finny, it's Big Air, it's King Khan, it's Coach Cool, it's Ezekiel, it's Mr. Monster, it's Gunnerside, it's Herod of Sakara. It is someone I don't know. Oh my god, there's still so many names I don't know. Oh, Roberto is on there. I updated that. There's Jeff. There's Rex Longbone. There's Practical Snow. There's Big Chuck. There's Hubster. There's... I can't say your name because it's your actual name. There's Mr. Cavalion. There is Cthulhu Collector. There is... more people. Aldar. There is... Another one. there are more people than I can read out. There's Dr. Nick. There's Lord Brainlord. There's Quack Dwist 6. There's Zinge. There's Rugbart. There's Be a Monkey. There's Grandview King. There's Schutenheim. There's Dwiggins. There's so many people. There's Kiwi. There's Tata Spyro. There's Dr. Hep. There's Caustic Q. There's T Cold. There's Viking Cop. There is Lord Owl. And there is Arch XL. There's a lot of Patreon support. 38 of them at the moment. That's crazy. That's so much support. It goes a long way. Did I mention this on the last podcast? On episode 100, we've already ordered the next trophy because of the support.
You did mention that, yes. And that's great. Thank you again, everyone. I just echo that.
It's actually with the painter at the moment. So, like, literally, probably by... like the last third of the season, we're gonna have a painted miniature so we can show everyone way in advance what's on the table.
Is it something that I would like?
It's an amazing model, but I don't want to say anything until it's done.
One of the things I can say that the patrons actually could get access to if they are interested is a sneak peek at what Major Byte is working on for Clan. I can say that it's a draft tool, so people can actually sort of register their drafts at rebel.net instead, and rebel.net will actually set up the matches right away afterwards with the right names and so on, so we as admins are happy. Invite the players and do the power comps and so on and so forth, so less problems, less work for clan leaders, less annoyed admin. So he can set up some screenshots for the patrons as well. And a big shout out to Major Byte for doing this work as well.
Yeah, Major Byte is amazing. Major Byte is consistently impressing me in terms of what he might... You know, I don't think there's ever a limit to like what we've ever asked him to do, and he's gone... actually, yeah, I can do that. I also want to say there's another project coming that I need to speak to Major Byte about, but I'm not going to say too much because I don't want to put any pressure on him in case it turns out to be too much effort. But I was approached by a member of the community the other day who is putting together some beginner guides for all of the races that we can host on rebel.net. Hopefully, if Major Byte can find a way to do it, in a terms of, you know, like very quick, like one page kind of charts and stuff to say... this is what a good starting build for this race would look like. This is what kind of skills you should develop into, you know, as like a quick reference tool for rookies.
Nice.
That's never really been done before anywhere. Obviously, you have like the build guides and stuff on Fumble, but and Blood Bowl Tactics has some stuff, but nothing's ever got like the one of those quick cheat sheet kind of style infographics that he's putting together, and I think it's really cool.
No, and Fumble uses obviously another rule set, so
yeah, that too
changes things as well.
But no, I think that's, you know, we've still got like, what amazes me about Rebel is like, because of the support we have and stuff, and because of the passionate community, which, you know, the Patreon show, is that we constantly have these really smart people coming up with new ways to improve.
Yeah, the innovation has been amazing just the last, what, 2-3 years now. We've come up with so many things. I still do wish like some of the stuff got embraced a little bit more too. Like the wiki page is still out there. And if you're listening to this and you want to contribute but you don't know how to code, you could totally put stuff in the wiki page, you know, fill up memes, fill up legendary player information, write stories about your games. That's exactly what that kind of stuff was set up for. And it's there's an audience for it. People want to read that stuff and go through it. But it does take time and effort.
The wiki was very unlike anything we'd ever done before in terms of, usually when we do something, we go, this is what we're doing, you can enjoy it. Whereas the wiki is entirely community moderated. So it wasn't me or Haringzord filling up every single page. It relied on the community to do it. And I think we weren't quite at the point where they were necessarily ready for that kind of, well, if we need something from this, we have to put something into this.
I still think that it can fill in like a niche that the
league has. I'm saying we're in a place now, I think, where we might see better support of it.
Yeah, I mean, I would love it if recappers, well, I guess it's not fair to recappers. I would love it if, you know, players after their match, they wanted to just maybe keep a journal of how their games went, and they went to the wiki and they recorded their totally biased and very inaccurate version of what happened in the match.
You just want to read about what people say after they play you.
No. I would be curious what's happening in other divisions more than anything. Like, when I recapped, I covered 1-3, and I was on those divisions every day, and I was watching games and staying in the loop. And now, like, I play my one game, I know where I'm at in the leaderboard, I look at playoff race, and that's about it. And I'm in this Stakemans and Shadora are doing a tipping competition for Divs 1 and 2A, the ones they cover, and I have no clue about the teams or what the games are like in 2A, and I'm just guessing based on name recognition alone. And I would love if I could get, you know, more information about those games without actually having to sit through and watch them. So that's where my mind's at with it, but who knows? Yeah, maybe I'm alone in thinking that would be a thing to have.
Sorry, if I'm all distracted, it's literally like there's a full-on lightning storm and hail bouncing.
Yeah, you're fine. We're over time anyway.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to say thank you to everyone for listening. Thank you once again, Meshuggah and Superfed, for coming on and chatting away your Saturday evenings. It's been fun. I don't like how rusty I feel when we're out of practice. Like, I really, really feel like I'm having to
work. Want to get back in the groove.
We really need to get back in the groove somehow. And I am sorry to everyone who has supported us that we have been thin on the ground. I know there was a lot. Did you catch the My Dudes chat where they thought I'd run away with something? What was it, $20 million or something?
Yeah.
I don't know where we've got a lot of supporters on. It was the Rebel Drink Company,
right?
Secured $20 million of funding, and they were like, "That's going to buy some nice trophies."
Seriously.
But yeah, I am sorry that we haven't been quite as prolific as we wanted to be, but free time has been difficult. Let's see.
Right.
Recently, and we will get back into it because I want to get back in the groove. I do. I don't like how I have to work. You know, we were at a point where we were doing an episode a week at the start of the year, and it just felt so smooth, and I didn't really have to think about it. I was just cracking on and just nailing it. And I thought we did really well. And then
life.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And that's through my noise gate as well, by the way.
That's crazy. Get out of here, man.
So, yeah. Thank you both. It's been fun. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You all stay classy now, folks.
And they're off, out of the gate. It's next Rebel season in hopes and dreams. Here comes rule changes followed by bitching and whining and not enough playoff tickets. It's bitching, it's whining, pulling away. Out of nowhere, we've got multiple casualties. Where the hell did multiple casualties come from? Now we've got Dubskulls and Snakes making their way past hopes and dreams. Hopes and dreams is falling completely out of sight. Around the final corner, this is my rebuilding season, enters the picture until Dead Apo Dead cuts him off. Now it's my dice suck, all over the place. My dice suck, with no room for logic or self-awareness to pass. In the end, it's my dice suck, followed by bitching, whining, and not enough playoff tickets in dead last. Join us for the next season of Rebel. We bet you bitch about it.